Good morning. It's It's a bit of a hard morning for me because I'm not used to talk about myself. So as I prepared all these things and I came this morning to church, just one thought was in my mind, and that is from John, first chapter, where John the Baptist looks at Jesus and see him as the Lamb who takes upon himself the sin of the world. And then in the same chapter he says, may I decrease and he would increase. So my prayer this morning is not that you see a lot of me, but you see a lot of God working in my life. That's my prayer. So anyway, as I prepared, I had a bunch of thoughts in my head, but in the end this one came first as my plans versus his. You'll see, you'll hear all about my past and how God directed my path. Even though I chose this or that, God many times said, no, go that way, not this way. So I was just impressed by this verse in Proverbs. Many are the plans in a person's heart, but it is the Lord's purpose that prevail. And I'm praying that this will be actually a theme for all of us, for all our lives, that we can actually, yeah, it's okay to make plans. Don't get me wrong. Planning is good. Those who know me, they know that I like plans because they keep you organized. You don't forget stuff. Although this morning I went to my office to grab something, and on the way from this, 20 meters, I forgot what I was searching for in my office. I had to come back and try to remember what was. Anyway, planning is good, but in the end it matters what God says, where God directs us. And you'll see he has this funny habit of changing our direction in life in so many ways that I was surprised. Anyway, you'll hear the story. But this is the verse that I want to stay with you. Many are the plans in a person's heart, but it is the Lord's purpose that prevails. Proverbs 19:21. Anyway, so yes, this is my testimony. And I want you guys to know me. Well, I'll be probably 15-20 minutes-ish. Then we'll sing a song to praise God again, and then we'll go into what we call the congregational meeting, where, again, I'll be the one talking. Sorry for that. There'll be a Q&A, question and maybe answers at the end. So this is the layout, and we'll finish probably around 3 o'clock. Just kidding. Probably, I don't know, 11:30-ish, we'll probably finish and pray for the plenty food that's downstairs. That's faith. I have no idea. I haven't seen downstairs. And we'll go down and have the potluck. You know, I think this is the National Potluck Day because I've seen so many, crock pots. I think all churches have potlucks today for some reason. I don't know. Anyway, let's start. A bit about Romania. So that's my home country. It's in Eastern Europe, former communist country, very old, obviously, as any other place in Europe. It's quite a long history, but very beautiful country, lots of mountains, lots of plains, rivers. We have the Danube, we have the Danube Delta. Anyway, my hometown is Bucharest, and I'm sorry for the Samsung thing. I didn't see that. I should have erased the Samsung part. But anyway, we have the second largest building in the world, second only to Pentagon. It's got over 7,000 rooms. It's huge, believe me. It took about 7 years to complete, and it had, I would say, tens of thousands of workers, most of them unpaid. Thank God to our former regime. We have a river that flows through the city, small. It's no longer stinky. When I was a kid, you see a lot of things floating down that river, and they were not nice. But anyway, now it's nice and clean. And it is a city that is number one in Europe as far as traffic congestion. So it is the most congested traffic in Europe. So if you want to go visit, don't. Anyway, that's my apartment block. That's where I used to live. I'm not sure how to... do I have a pointer on this thing? Yeah. Oh, good. So this was my balcony here, right here. That's our AC unit. Okay? Seventh floor, American standards. Anyway, we enjoy that place a lot. That's our apartment. This is a view from our window to the left as you kind of like do this on the middle. Okay, in front of us just another building. You couldn't see nothing. But lots of churches, Orthodox churches. Romania is an Orthodox country. Christian Orthodox, like Greek Orthodox, similar. We have about 360 churches in Bucharest, like that or bigger. Lots of parks. We enjoy nature, not as much as here, but plenty. And lots of old and new buildings, a mix of old constructions and new constructions. That's not very good sight. Anyway, okay. That's what I'm saying. You know, if you want to go there, go like between 3 and 4 a.m. in August. It's nice then. Anyway, my family. That was fast. My family. Okay, obviously, you've known probably my wife, Anna Maria. She's born in 78. She's 39 years old. We've married 20 years. In August, we celebrate our 20th anniversary. We have one son. He's around here somewhere. I don't see him, but you know, he's somewhere. Oh, hey, yeah, this is my son. He's 14. 14. And that's our daughter, but I was a good parent, okay? I was a good dad. That's Emma, our daughter. She's 17. She couldn't be here this morning. And that's our cat, Benny. He's back in Romania. He hasn't come with us. He doesn't like Canada, so he stayed in Romania. Stuff we like. You know, Romanians, we are interesting people, a mixture of Latin language. I mean, we're a Latin-based language, Romanian. But we are at the intersection of many empires, Russian Empire to the east, the Europe from the west, Turkish from the south. So we're a mix of everything. So we like stuffed cabbage rolls. We love cabbage rolls. Yes, they are amazing. You have not yet eaten Romanian cabbage rolls. I'll give you some. I'll buy some for you. We like coffee. We like Turkish coffee, the one you actually boil in a pot on the fire or whatever. So with the grain, the coffee inside the cup, the pot, and you boil it, and it's awesome. You don't eat what's on the bottom though; just drink what's up top. I like my newspapers. Used to be all printed. Now it's obviously all on the computer. But I used to have my coffee and my newspaper every morning, and that's, I think, Emma. I'm not sure what she's doing, but I think she's sleeping. We like tanks, me and my son, or at least me. We like tanks. That's an M60. It's desert camouflage, Iraq. This was in first war in Iraq. So this is an SU-100, if you ever know what that is. That's my son. So we like tanks. You know, we're weird. I'm probably one of the few pastors who had a T-55A, if you know that is a Russian tank, on my lawn for 7 years. It was awesome. And I'm certified I can shoot an AK-47 quite precisely. I haven't done it in a while, but I can if maybe. I like photography. I love to take pictures and save me. I have like 50,000. I have probably 100 gigabytes of pictures on my computer, of pictures I've taken. I'm probably in like 50 kilos of them. It's me. Like one in 50,000 might be me. We like our vacation in Greece. We haven't been there in a while, but we love Greece. That's our favorite summer vacation. We haven't been there. We might go sometime in the future, but we'll see. We love Canada a lot, so we may not go to Greece again soon. Okay, a bit about my past. So I grew up, I was born in 1969, September. So grew up in a communist country. My dad was, that's me. We'll move on. Okay. My dad was an electrician who worked in a factory. My mom was a seamstress, I think you call it in English. She worked in another factory, and she actually worked for, they produced sweaters for Canada. Many, many years she worked, and probably many of you guys probably wore, used to have sweaters that my mom actually cut and sewn back in Romania. And that was for many years, about 10 years or so, they worked for, they had a big contract with Canada. So I grew up in a small house, went to high school in Bucharest, just normal life, not too much, not too little. We didn't starve, but didn't have a lot. You know, Romanian, there are some limitations in travel or choices of food. We probably have bananas once a year and oranges, again, once a year. But we had lots of apples and stuff, so we made do. I served in the military, so who knows which one? It's me. That's my squad. My service. I served in the military for 16 months. Yep. That's me. I was this height minus 30 kilograms. How's that in pounds? 30 kilos in pounds is like what? 6. So take this minus 60 something pounds. I could hide like doing this, you know? But anyway, that was an interesting time because when I was in the military, actually, yep, that's me. I served in an interesting time in Romania when in 1989, our nation decided to no longer accept communism. And there was what we call a revolution. People came out on the streets in huge numbers and they overthrew the government. And we became a democratic nation. That was in 1989. I was serving in the military. I was actually in the military in those days. It was interesting. God protected my path again, that even though I had live ammo with me for 2 months and I was patrolling streets and I was guarding objectives, I never had to shoot my weapon at anyone that was alive. So I was blessed because I had friends who actually shot and killed, and I'm glad I don't have to carry that that burden. It was not a fun time. We had about 2,000 casualties all over Romania through all those turmoils and stuff. Maybe 1,600 actually, not 2,000. 1,600 people died, and many of them killed by the military, and I was fortunate to not be amongst those. But anyway, I love my service. Changed me, made me a more mature person. I learned a lot of stuff during the service, so I don't regret being in the military. Actually, I have very good memories, and even I have friends today that we correspond once or twice a year, and we keep in touch even after almost 30 years now. But before we go to my ministry, actually, let me tell you in brief story of my salvation, because I want to again point towards God. God guided my path in many interesting ways. I was in high school. I couldn't find pictures from high school, but I was looking like this, probably even more skinnier than that, same height, but like 65 kilograms. I was skinny. I was deadly skinny. And I ate a lot. I ate 5 times a day, big meals. Nothing would stay. I was just... Anyway, I was in high school when, for example, I had a dare with a friend. You know, who can learn English faster? And he was not the brightest student in the shed, so I clearly learned a lot faster than him. But I was passionate then. I got this passion for English out of a simple dare with a guy in my high school. And you can see I have actually good use for my English, which began back in 1985. After I came out from the military service, my dad made me go to a tech school, a tech college, learning how to fix computers, TV sets, radio sets, VCR, VHSs, all that kind of stuff. So I went for 3 years to college, and I became a certified electronics, a technician, and got my first job in 93. But in that summer, something else happened. 3 years of going to school after 2 years of military, after 4 years of high school, I've tried a lot of things that I thought would make me happy. But nothing worked. I couldn't find pleasure in anything. And even worse, there was like no hope. I was an agnostic, an atheist actually, and I believed in evolution. And because of that, I knew that there's no purpose to my being. So because I know my life meant nothing, it was hard to enjoy life. And I tried all kinds of stuff, alcohol and stuff, but nothing worked. I was totally bored and unhappy, and my life was just gray. Until one day, May 1993. And on that day, again about God changing our plans, I was going to play basketball with just random people, but a neighbor of mine who was a Christian invited me to play basketball with her group. Didn't matter to me which group was that. So in that Saturday morning of 93, I went and I met the first real Christians in my life. And I was awestruck. I saw people who were happy, who were full of joy, that even when they argued differently. I don't know. It was something strange and weird about them. And they kind of like had this light about, I mean, not physically light. They didn't radiate stuff. But they were different. And I was almost jealous of what they had. So I thought, that's interesting. And I forgot about them. Next week, by accident, I had a plan again to go and play basketball. And by accident, I ran into exactly the same girl. And she said, come with us again tomorrow morning. So I said, okay, I'll go. Again, I go and I see the same people. And I'm again awestruck. That was the day when actually I met Anna. She was in that group. But again, I liked them. They were strange. It was different. But I went home and I just put it aside. Third Friday in a row, coming home from, I guess, school, I meet the same person three times in a row, three Fridays in a row, in a city as big as Toronto. It's actually a lot more crowded. And she calls, she says, come with us tomorrow. I went again with them. And as I went to the basketball court, they said, want some cookies? We have a friend who has cookies at her house. Which guy would say no to cookies? I mean, come on, it's free food, roll for it. So I went. What they didn't tell me is that they served cookies after the prayer meeting. And it was a very charismatic Pentecostal prayer meeting with everybody, you know, out loud and standing up and shouting to the Lord and praying. And good thing is, we all hold hands. So I couldn't run. But it was great. It was strange, but it wasn't their prayers or the Bible reading or the Bible study. It was their lives. They had joy and hope and a connection between them that just struck me as something I want. So from that day on, third Sunday in a row, I began to actually search to see what makes them different. What gives them joy in the midst of trials? What gives them hope? And how can they enjoy life so much? It took about a month to realize it was Christ in their lives. It was their faith in God that made them different. And in July 1st, 1993, I got baptized. Study before baptism? Catechism? No catechism. I went just to watch how people get baptized one Saturday morning, again Saturday, at a lake. And as the pastor baptized about youth. He said at the end, is anyone here that wants to give his life to Jesus and wants to be baptized? And something like almost magically, I felt like I couldn't sit down. I stood up and I jumped in the lake and I was baptized on the spot. And nothing else was the same from that day on. You know, there's a song, an old hymn, before is Jesus, behind is the world. And I forgot, how is that? I know it's in Romanian, I don't know it in English. The cross before me, exact. The cross before me, na 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 na. Yeah, anyway, that was my life. The cross was before me, the world was behind me, and nothing could make me go back. I was changed from that summer, and my ministry actually began. I was totally full of zeal and totally lacking any kind of knowledge. So I've done a bunch of stupid things as a Christian. I won't go into that, but I began to grow. I began to do translation. This is me and my wife doing translation for Campus Crusade for Christ. It's known here as Power to Change. I worked for Power to Change since 97 through 2012, I think. So a bunch of years I worked for them doing translation and teaching and conference directing. I did lots of organizing conferences. I worked with a team and we had Bible teaching for lay leaders, people from churches who were not like seminary trained. We offered them one week, twice a year of Bible studies. And I was doing translation and organizing and directing those conferences. I worked with a ministry called Calvary Chapel. I'm not sure they're in Canada, actually a couple of Calvaries in Toronto even. An association of churches just like AGC, like Social Gospel Churches. And I became a pastor ordained through that ministry. And we did lots of youth camps, lots and lots and lots of summer camps. And that's actually at the end of a summer camp, going home tired and full of, what's that, probably Big Macs and stuff. I had glasses even back then, but I began to be involved in church ministry, go to church every Sunday, wouldn't miss for nothing in the world. I would go to church, if it would rain or shine, how to say, snow or no snow, I would go to church. I did some street evangelism. It was not my forte, but I did it because people said you should do it, so I did it. I'd stay there. But then God led us to start a new church back in last Sunday of 1998, a group of 17 kids. I was amongst the oldest. I was 29-ish, and I was amongst the oldest, and we had about 17 kids. Some of them were high school, some of the college. We had only two people who had jobs in the church. That was awesome. The collection was really not very big. But you know what? We loved it. We did a lot of stuff for the Lord. I made my own pulpit. I got some 2x4s and some old leftover wood from a construction site, and I made my own pulpit, my old cross in the church that we rented at the time. That's actually an older picture. It's Open Heaven, but it's actually new. Our church was bilingual. We spoke both English and Romanian for many years. I spoke Romanian. My wife would translate to English, and she would hate me when I would correct her, because that's what I do. I correct people sometimes. Anyway, she sang, led worship. I was helping with worship, so that was one of the things we did a lot. That's our church back home. Lots of youth came to the Lord, and we had lots of baptisms. I was so blessed because we were able to show Christ to many orphans. We worked among orphanages, and many kids, like in these pictures, two of them are orphans, and a bunch of our friends that came to the Lord through our church. We had potlucks. We loved potlucks. We loved special needs people. This is a lady, dear lady on the right. She had some mental issues, but we loved being a shelter and a home for everybody and anybody. So we had a lot of people that came to our church. Yep. We always did baptism outside. We never did baptism inside until, I think later on we bought a kiddie pool. Those we inflate, and we use those. But in the beginning, it was just at river. And we have this nice location that was great until one day when we wanted to do a baptism, in June, after a very dry spring and a very dry month of June. We didn't check water levels. So we got to the lake, and if you wanted to actually dunk someone, you had to go 100 meters through mud and find some water. But anyway, we love doing this. We love doing outreaches. We went to villages and served with the small churches and did day camps for really very small churches in villages for poor communities. Again, baptisms. Lots of summer camps. I think that's beyond on the left. Lots of youth, lots of camps. This is the camp where I set myself on fire, trying to pour gasoline we have a very small fire with very wet wood. So in my bright mind, I thought, let's put some gas on the fire because I heard it works. So I poured gas, and I saw how the flame came up towards my mind, and I sprayed myself with burning gasoline. I was okay. I survived. Again, lots of baptisms. We did summer camps in Moldova a lot. Drama, things that kids do, people in their 20s and early 30s, we did a lot of stuff for outreaches. That's a Easter night service we had, candlelit service at Easter. Lots of men's ministry. One of my focuses in Romania in our church was helping men grow in the Lord. So we did trips to the mountains, just the guys, the fathers and sons. We did a Bible study just for men. We did, I was meeting with them one-on-one in at 6:30 in the morning every Tuesday. We'd go for coffee with some guys in Romania. It was early morning before work. We just had a cup of coffee, prayed together, and then we went to work. So that's part of our men's group back then. That's not men's group. That's a mission trip to Moldova. Because, oh, yeah, and this is, you may know some of the people in this picture, but on the, what's this? Right. On the right is Lou Orad. He's a retired pastor that used to serve in many churches, like Philpott in Hamilton, a couple of churches in Niagara area. Many. He's been a pastor for, like, I don't know, 50 years. But he came to Romania to teach Bible, and I was his voice. I was his translator. And as I worked with him and for him, he became my mentor and my friend, and he changed my life. He taught me how to teach the Bible. He taught me how to be a good pastor. He taught me so many things. You'll hear his name a lot mentioned in my testimonies. Okay, we send missionaries. We did not think that being a small church of 30, 40, 50 is we didn't think that means we're powerless. So we sent missionaries. We had this lady, she went to Kosovo. She's actually been 4 years now in Kosovo, in Europe. And this family went to China, and they spent about 4 years in China, but now they came to Romania, and they work with the Chinese community in Bucharest, because we have a lot of, we have a big Chinatown in Bucharest also. They went to Albania, and they actually spent many years in Albania, and we helped them stay there and minister, and they had to leave because of turmoil and stuff, but they served a lot of time and difficult time in Albania. And this friend of mine who's been, I think it's 12 years now, he's in China. He actually lives there now. He's got a business. He employs non-Christians to allow them to hear the gospel. So he's been in China for 12 years I have no idea. I know the name of Xining. Xining, am I saying it right? Xining? X-I-N-I something. Anyway, so we loved being around them and supporting them and praying for them. And I think this is something that Bridletown does too. We have missionaries we pray for, we support, and we lift up their hands as they serve God on mission field. Moldova is the next country east from Romania. Small country, about 4 million people, probably a million plus are gone in Europe to work. They work outside the country, so about 3 million left in the country. Very poor nation. They speak the same language as us. They speak Romanian like we do. And when we began our church, Open Heaven Church in Bucharest, we knew our tithe was small. So we thought, where will our money have the biggest impact? And we thought, in Moldova. So we began to pray for God to show us somebody that needs our help. So we prayed and we sent our first mission trip in 2002. We found a pastor and we said, the Lord led us here. We want to support you. And he said, yes, thank you. But go to that village, this village, because there's a small church there, young pastor, he needs support. And I said, okay. Went to this small village, a very small and poor village, and that was in 2003. And since then, I've been in that village probably 6-7 times every year, with one mission trip every summer, or two sometimes, two missions going every summer, doing summer youth camps and couples retreats, marriage retreats in Moldova. We might actually go there together sometimes. So that was our first missions to ever our church sent. That was obviously me, and we have just four. We thought, you know, four is more than nothing. We went and we organized a day camp for 5 days, and it was just amazing. We, totally un-Canadian, we hitchhiked. We hitchhiked all the way to Moldova. We crossed the border in a strange car. I mean, we hitchhiked all the way. We done it twice, and then we said, no, we have to buy a car. But at that time, no one in our church had a car. And this is Bucharest. No one owned a vehicle in our church. I was the first one who actually bought a car in 2004. Sorry. In 2004, I bought my first car. But at that time, no one had a car, so we had to hitchhike. We did it, and it was awesome. We went there and did day camps for kids, actually full camps for 5 days. I taught the Bible a lot to young kids. This is the pastor. He was 23 when I met him. He became a Christian in school through a campus crusade, went back to the village as the first Christian in the village, And the first thing he did, he opened up a church. And now the church is about 40 people large, 40 to 50 people, which is amazing. It's great for a village of like 1,000. And they have a thriving ministry there towards youth and young families. So just a few pictures from the camps we had there. Very rustic, but who cares? Lots of kids came around, which is not my forte, but we've done it anyway. Lots of camp food, which is Moldovan camp food, which is the real camp food. Lots of one-on-one interaction with the pastors. Those are two pastors I work with, Lucian and Anatol. Lots of small group time, guitar time again, lots of songs. Food time, those are peaches. Lots of coffee in the morning. Again, I mean, this is so many memories. I mean, it's... Thirteen years of doing this every summer. It's just, we saw kids in this group here. This is our first camp. Many of them are now missionaries, youth workers, pastors, or pastors' wives in this group. They were like this tiny, small when we met them, and now they serve God in churches with I mean, it's such a joy to watch pictures along the years and see them how they grew up and actually follow the Lord and to give their all strength and power to serve God. Yep, that's me. And that's... Okay, if you go to Moldova ever with me, one thing is amazing, amongst many others, which is food. I mean, you can just eat and eat and eat. It's just... Oh. Anyway, one trip... I'm not a missionary myself. I don't see myself as a missionary. I love the church of God. I love people in the church. But because of that, God called me at least a couple of times to go outside Romania to encourage churches. So one trip I took about 3 weeks, was 19 days actually, in Vietnam, and I worked with two churches, and it was interesting. I had a lot of teaching from the Bible and a lot of leadership teaching for the church elders. Again, guitars, has to be guitars. Lots of eating on the floor and sleeping on the floor was a bit challenging for my bones, but anyway. Now let's come to our story to Canada. In my parents, I was a son committed to help and support my parents through their lives. So Canada was never on my map. Leaving country was never on my map. But my dad passed away in 2011, and my mom passed away in 2012. So in that summer of 2013, actually, I didn't feel nothing. I got a phone call from Lou from Ingersoll and said, Adi, would you pray for coming to Canada? Total novel idea for me. And I said, yeah, I'll pray. Just, you know, as we Christians say, I'll pray, you know. I'll think about it. And he gave me 2 days. 2 days later, he calls me and said, have you thought? Have you prayed? I said, I didn't answer much. But he said, okay, because you have an interview in 2 days. This guy will write you a letter in 4 days. You have this phone call in 5 days. And it was like steamrolled almost. So in 2013, I began to actually think seriously about coming to Canada. And I applied to a church down in Kitchener-Waterloo area. And out of 64 applications, how many of you guys had here? No, there are 64 valid candidates, and I was chosen as the best option, but they didn't take me because I was European. I had to come through immigration. They didn't want to mess with immigration, so they said no. And I said, okay, God closed the door. Canada is not for me. You know, arrivederci. No Canada for me. So I took my mind off of this until, again, I had a phone call from the son of Lou Orad, Russ, my former pastor in Newmarket, said, Adi, we have a position opening at our church. Would you like to apply? I asked my wife. We prayed. I talked to the kids. We prayed some more. And then I said, yeah, I'll apply. And from that moment on, everything went like this, like door open after door open after door open. I got my visa. Instead of 3 weeks, I got it in 3 days. I went here. I came to Canada here. I passed every single interview, every single examination I went through. And I came in December of 2014 to pass the final exams to be ordained or be accepted into AGC. I passed those. I passed interview with the elders, and I got a position. I came December 2014. I got the okay. In January 2015, I moved here, and I began to work with this amazing youth. Doing youth stuff. So a guy, 45, at that time, with not that much energy, I had to, you know, I had the pleasure and the blessing to work with these guys who are like filled with a lot of energy. So we've done you know, all the youth stuff you can imagine, you know, youth meetings and teaching and worshiping and being goofy and worshiping God and learning from God. This is familiar. Teaching kids how to pray and how to read the Bible and how to know God themselves personally. And it's lots of crazy time. Lots of camping, not a lot, but quite enough camping and eating, you know, cooked food over the fire. Lots of prayer time with the kids. Mission trip, we took one mission trip to Saskatchewan to a First Nations camp, and we loved it. Emma and I and two other kids went there. We served 1 week to a First Nation Cree Nation camp, and we loved it. It was amazing. This is my kids in my cabin. I was a counselor for 7 kids. They're all cousins. And this is not, I mean, they had like 2 cabins, they're all cousins. I mean, everybody was a cousin with someone. But just great, amazing, great little kids. I love them. And I met these guys. That's my former pastor. And who's this guy? Is he ticklish? Are you ticklish? Anyway, that's my former pastor from up in Newmarket and our family pastor. And being who I am, I couldn't just work with youth. I just couldn't. So I worked a lot with seniors. I've done a lot of chapel time and communion in retirement homes. I've done a few funerals. You know, if you're a senior, you get to do that too. And I've done a lot of men discipleship. And this is one of the guys I worked with every week, and we met and had coffee and prayed and talked every single Thursday for almost a year. And he's going to get baptized next week. And I cannot be there because it's on a Sunday morning because I'm here. But I met with him yesterday. I had breakfast. And he told me he's going to get baptized, and he's just amazing. You know, it's not my work, because I only did a little bit in his life, but seeing that a person I met with for a whole year, now he comes to say, I want to be a Christian, I want to follow God, I want to be baptized, it was just awesome. Anyway, Brattletown Park Church. Many are the plans in a person's heart, but it's the Lord's purpose that prevails, Proverbs 19:21. Or even better, trust in the Lord with all your heart. And lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. That's my prayer. I may come with lots of plans. Steve may have plans. Dennis has lots of plans. Dave has his plans. You know, we all have plans. But in the end, it's what God wants. And so my choice, my decision, my commitment is to acknowledge God, is to trust in him with all my heart and acknowledge him in all my ways. And he will guide me. I never shared with you this before, but my life verse, and actually there are two. One is Matthew 6:33. Seek ye God, the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. That's one of the first verses I ever learned, and it has touched my heart. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. That's my choice personally. The second verse, I got it when I began, when we began Open Heaven. I was freaked out. Is that a bad word? No. I was so scared. I was young. I was, I don't know, not even 30, I think. And I was a pastor for a small church, but I was the pastor. And I was so afraid. What do I do now? Okay, I got the church. Kids, I want to come and see and meet together. And I prayed. And I asked someone else to pray with me. And then as we prayed, it's not on the screen, actually. I don't show for nothing there. Ephesians 4:12 came to my heart, and that stayed since then as my life verse. It says, the first Ephesians 4:11 and 12 says, God gave the church apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers for the perfection of the saints for the work of ministry. That is my life goal, is to work with the saints, to see them grow in the Lord, being perfected, as the Bible says, for the Lord's ministry, for you to serve God wherever you are. That's my calling in my life. And I will give all my power, energy, and love to see you grow, loving God and serving God. I'm done with this part. It took me longer than I thought. We'll sing one song now. I'm not sure what Elaine has prepared. After the song, you can take a 5-minute bio break, get a coffee if you want, and then we'll convene back after the song and after the break for the church congregational meeting part. Just again, me talking and asking questions and stuff.